Good morning. Welcome to the Hannah Rage Show, where you have the power to have your voice heard, the power to inform, to become informed from local to global on the issues you care about most on your hometown morning talk show, wherever your hometown may be. Well, Rick Scott, war on voting continues. Rick Scott defiant. Rick Scott stubborn. Rick Scott bald. He is going to require the Department of Justice to sue him using taxpayer dollars to force him to do what the law requires him to do. And we have 67 supervisors of elections that are refusing to conduct the purge. So I don't know how he plans on doing this all by himself. And we have a GOP election supervisor right here in Tampa Bay who is refusing to go along. And the Commodore 64 will help me out in just a moment and let me tell you her name. She is the Pinellas County Supervisor of Elections, and her conscience does not allow her to continue with this purge. She has refused. She is most upset that the data has been held for a year, already out of date, but held for a year longer so that the information is even more out of date. And as I sit here waiting for the computer to cooperate, which I'm sure it will very soon, and allow me to scroll down to a different story and give you more details about this, perhaps we will go to a different item here. Oh, look, it's Deborah Clark. She is the supervisor of elections at Pinellas County. She has said she will not follow the Department of Justice's order to end the voter roll purge. The governor's administration has says it will not follow that, but she says she will. The Republican County election supervisor spokesman told Think Progress she will not resume the purge effort. Pinellas County Supervisor Elections Deborah Clark released a statement last Friday saying that her office would not continue the purge. The accuracy of the voter registration database is of the utmost importance, and we will continue our efforts to ensure the information is current. However, we will not use unreliable data. When asked whether the Scott's administration to defy the Department of Justice order changed anything, Clark spokesman Nancy Whitlock told Think Progress No, Ms. Clark's position remains as stated on Friday. Well, congratulations, Ms. Clark, Pinellas County Supervisor of Elections. We have elections going on in Egypt. And that, of course, is the allowing the presidential transition from the president who thought he was going to be president for life, Hosni Mubarak, and it just didn't work out his way. So why don't we dedicate this both to Governor Rick Scott and Hosni Mubarak and whoever the next elected official of Egypt may be. Courtesy of the Capital Steps, capsteps.com.
And now, the end is here. The people jeer and burn my dummy. I've served for 30 years. Now I'm in tears. I want my mummy. I've done so many things. Built every street and every causeway. Just once, I wish they'd say, you did it hard. I shot the internet. Who can forget the Fallout harm still? Hey, too late. I blame Bill Gates and claim some plague had just struck Farmville. Barack would never say if I should stay or hit the highway. Plus, once you pass $5 for gas, you'll see things my way. All right. Maybe it's true. Maybe I gypped Egypt. It's difficult to say. No, I mean that phrase. It's very difficult to say. I gypped Egypt. Try it. It's hard with the lips. But I will say this in my defense. I have done no more than the leaders have done in Egypt for thousands of years. Merely run another pyramid scheme. Sure, there were times some people wrote when I'd manipulate the vote. And with some ballots, there is no doubt, I tore them up and tossed them out. Now that I'm through, what will I do? I'll go to Disney.
I personally would recommend the United Arab Emirates. I don't really think there's too much to appeal to Hosni Mubarak at Disney World. Let's go to the phone lines. And good morning, Lawrence.
Good morning, Henry. Hey, Henry, I have a nephew that lives in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, for you who lives out there. Just a little interesting fact. Hey,
what did you do?
He works for the government, our government.
Doing what?
I am not at liberty to say. But it's factual.
Is he a janitor?
No. He's a deputy director of a very large...
sanitation department?
I'll tell you off the air, Henry, when we talk, and we talk a lot off the air, and I know how exciting that makes certain people feel. Hey, by the way, not changing the subject, how is Mrs. Davis? I really miss her. Not? Okay. Moving right along. Henry,
well,
are you...
No. I saw a post on my Facebook that there is a Monday Mrs. Davis show coming.
There is God. Okay, hey Henry.
You were a doubter.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, you know, you put in a couple months at a new job, and all of a sudden you become an expert. We'll see. Wouldn't that be kind of like in the line of Rick on the radio or Mitch Mallett? Hey, listen, the leaks going on, Dianne Feinstein, I was watching one of her interviews last evening about the leaks that were going on, are going on, and who might be responsible or a participant. I'm wondering, do you remember
perhaps
the Valerie...
Perhaps it would be helpful for the audience to tell us which leaks you're talking about.
Well, no, I'm leaving that to you. You're the valid, knowledgeable radio host. But I would like to use it as a comparison when you get to that, the Valerie Plame situation. What's the difference? Here's the question for you people out there, you knowledgeable, intelligent, articulate people. What's the difference between the Valerie Plame argument and kerfuffle way back when George W. Bush was president, and the leaks that are going on right now, and who's in charge? I would love to know that, and why there is very little talk of anything, and why you're even acting, Henry, like, what are you talking about? Like it's no big deal.
Well, I think exposition is a good policy on the radio.
Okay, well, I'm just throwing that out there.
So
maybe,
which leaks
maybe
are you
John,
talking about?
Maybe John can call in and
which
expound.
Leak are you talking about?
Which leaks? I prefer to be clueless, Henry. I prefer to act like the limp.
Well, you do
the
well.
Right now, that's right. I don't know what you're talking about. It's if it's not in on MSNBC or if it's not in the New York Times, which it is, I don't know anything. And so now I'm yelling so you can shoot the messenger. But what about you intellectuals out there? Compare the Valerie Plame kerfuffle and what's going on now. I bid you a farewell adieu. Ta-ta.
Well, for one thing, the Valerie Plame incident did more than expose a knock, a person undercover that had gone deep undercover. It also revealed a company, Brewster Jennings, that had deeply penetrated Aramco and some of the other Arabic oil companies, and was gathering intelligence there. And since you won't reference the leak that you want me to make the comparison to, it's rather difficult for me to do much more than explain that there was a certain national security disrespect, uncaring, and much like the Sibel Edmonds leak of the nuclear secrets to Turkey that were sold to Pakistan. Much was made around the world in the Times of London and the Daily of Pakistan, in the Indian newspapers, in the Japanese newspapers, different European newspapers, the Times of London, of course, owned by Rupert Murdoch and managed to totally ignore the story in the United States, except for a small piece. After the second installment of a front-page extensive Sunday New York Times expose, free to freeze up again, leaving me with very little in my show prep here. So open the phone lines at 941-745-1490, and we will try and continue to produce a show concerning the things that you care about. There were a number of stories, one of which was the nuclear power plant that will continue to be offline as they still try and figure out what went wrong with the tubes and the cracks. Although, those of you in Susquehanna have a celebration to find out that you will actually have electricity this summer. They have found a way to reinstall the electricity and repair the blades in reactor number one. They claim they have found no problem in reactor number two. And I must try and get this computer to participate with the show. So we will take a musical interlude here, hopefully not too long, as I try and figure out what is the matter with this thing.
Tried to be a good wife, but he needed to do something about his problem. It's not like he was the first man to deal with ED. There are solutions, like Viagra and Cialis. I begged him to go to the doctor, but he always found an excuse not to go. Finally, I told him he had to go. He came back with a prescription, and I thought our problems were solved. That is, until we found out that they can cost up to $22 a pill. He said, no way can we afford that. Then we found out about Save On Med. With their relationships with licensed pharmacies in the U.S., Canada, and New Zealand, they were able to find generic Cialis and Viagra for just $5 a pill. That's right, just $5 a pill when you buy a package of 32. Smaller packages are available at other prices, and they're mailed right to your home. They also help people save up to 75% off the prices of heart, cholesterol, cancer, and thousands of other medicines. Give them a call at 727-388-6939. That's 727-388-6939. Save On Med solved our problem, and they can solve yours. Now, you'll have to excuse me. Oh, honey, where are you? I have something you need to take care of.
Save On Med. Call 727-388-6939. That's 727-388-6939.
Have you noticed that your local newspaper has been on a diet, each issue getting thinner and thinner? It's more of a consisting of the same wire reports you can read anywhere, surrounded by a bunch of advertisements. If you want real local news written by real local reporters, check out the BradentonTimes.com, Manatee County's online daily newspaper published exclusively on the web. Keep up with local politics, area sports, golf fishing action, and stay on top of local events coming to the area. There's an in-depth restaurant guide, thought-provoking op-eds, and best of all, no trees have to die for you to get your news each morning. Go to www.thebradentontimes.com and sign up for our free weekly recap, delivered to your inbox every Thursday morning, and check daily for breaking local news and reports. That's thebradentontimes.com, fact-based news and analysis without an agenda.
I'm Scott Callens of the law firm Callens Little & Delgado. I'm a lawyer. I'm also a specialist in handling personal injury cases. Most lawyers can't say that because they aren't board-certified civil trial lawyers. If you want a board-certified specialist, call Callens, Scott Callens, at 877-CALLENS. That's Scott Callens at 877-525-5467.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit MatchingDonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all, the gift of life, MatchingDonors.com.
My name is Ruth Rusi, and this is how I live United. I read to children as part of United Way's education program. It helps them create links between language and literacy and prepares them for a better academic future. I figure I have the time and they have the need. My name is Ruth Rusi. I help kids prepare to succeed in school. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
My name is Ruth Rusi, and this is how I live United. I read to children as part of United Way's education program. It helps them create links between language and literacy and prepares them for a better academic future. I figure I have the time and they have the need. My name is Ruth Rusi. I help kids prepare to succeed in school. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org.
I started going cold turkey. Well, at least when I'm in the car.
I know I shouldn't do it, but it's so hard to stop. That's why I hide it from myself, so I won't be tempted.
I used to do it all the time. I stopped by locking it in my equipment in the car.
My solution is simple. I just don't do it.
There will stop yourself and others from texting and driving. How will you stop? Tell us at StopTextStopRex.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Olivia Fox. And you know, on the internet, there are tons of special networking websites. But one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. Did you know in the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant? And most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, please visit MatchingDonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all the gift of life, MatchingDonors.com.
I tried to be a good wife, but he needed to do something about his problem. It's not like he was the first man to deal with ED. There are solutions, like Viagra and Cialis. I begged him to go to the doctor, but he always found an excuse not to go. Finally, I told him he had to go. He came back with a prescription, and I thought our problems were solved. That is, until we found out that they can cost up to $22 a pill. He said, no way can we afford that. Then, we found out about Save On Med. With their relationships with licensed pharmacies in the U.S., Canada, and New Zealand, they were able to find generic Cialis and Viagra for just $5 a pill. That's right, just $5 a pill when you buy a package of 32. Smaller packages are available at other prices, and they're mailed right to your home. They also help people save up to 75% off the prices of heart, cholesterol, cancer, and thousands of other medicines. Give them a call at 727-388-6939. That's 727-388-6939. Save On Med solved our problem, and they can solve yours. Now, you'll have to excuse me. Oh, honey, where are you? I have something you need to take care of.
Save On Med. Call 727-388-6939. That's 727-388-6939.
WWPR, 1490 AM, Bradenton, Sarasota, Tampa Bay. Back on the air? Well, we were always on the air. Back live on the air. Open phone lines, 941-745-1490. Was anything you want to talk about right now? But I have news. Suicides among U.S. troops averaging one a day in 2012. Suicides are surging among America's troops, averaging nearly one a day this year, the fastest pace in the nation's decade of war. The 154 suicides for active duty troops in the first 155 days of the year far outdistanced the U.S. forces killed in action in Afghanistan, about 50% more. According to Pentagon statistics obtained by the Associated Press, the numbers reflect a military burdened with wartime demands from Iraq and Afghanistan that have taken a greater toll than foreseen a decade ago. See, a decade ago would have been 2012. Yeah. I don't think anybody foresaw multiple deployments, four, five, six deployments, extensive time away from your family, and a never-ending situation. House passes Homeland Security spending bill. The GOP-controlled House passed a $46 billion measure Thursday funding the Homeland Security Department, including more than $5 billion in disaster relief spending that complies with a budget agreement last summer opposed by Tea Party conservatives. 234-182 vote was unusually partisan. Homeland Security programs traditionally have enjoyed widespread support but the Obama administration issued a veto threat against the bill in protest over unrelated budget cuts proposed by the Republicans in excess of last summer's budget and debt deal. Let's go to the phone lines. You're live on the air.
Hey, Henry. Good morning. Nick and St. Pete. How you doing?
Well, I've been better.
Yeah, you sound a little slow, but that's okay. We still love you. Hey, Henry, I saw a little news article about Obama prosecuting whistleblowers. They claim that he's prosecuted more whistleblowers than all other presidents combined. And I'm wondering, what is he hiding? Is he hiding criminal activity in the American government? Is that it? What do you think, Henry? Peace.
Well, I don't know if he's done more than all governments, presidents before him. I know he has greatly increased what President Bush had done. And for a president who said he was going to have an open administration, he has had the opposite effect. And he has come down hard on whistleblowers that actually have done great service to their country. So that is the situation that we have. I don't know how much more to say about it besides that. Other than someday this computer will open up more than one window at a time. House rejects proposal to strip TSA screeners of police-like uniforms. The House on Thursday voted down a proposal that would have stripped Transportation Security Administration airport screeners of badges, shield, and policeman-like uniforms. I think they should have made them walk through the X-ray screeners. Representative Marsha Blackburn, Republican of Tennessee, proposed the language as an amendment to the Department of Homeland Security spending bill, which would have prohibited the department from spending any money to provide TSA screeners with official-looking uniforms. Another of her proposals would have prevented funds from being spent on TSA screening operations outside airports, but that amendment was also rejected in a 204 to 210 vote. Marsha Blackburn is a Republican of Tennessee who I'm sure there's many issues that I disagree with her. But there is a pilot program, I believe it's in Pennsylvania, that allows Transportation Security Administration officials to pull you over on the interstate because, my goodness, you might be a terrorist. And shouldn't we have the ability to pull people over at will, not because they've broken a law, but because a Transportation Security Administration individual feels they are suspicious. In fact, they want to give them the ability to arrest you. Representative Marsha Blackburn has come out against this. And it's interesting that the vote was 204 to 210. Who are the six people that have to be convinced that this is a bad idea? That we need another government agency, non-law enforcement, non-trained in proper ability to arrest, proper ability for evidence, proper ability for judicial procedures, but who have a badge, who have a uniform, who have a gun, and feel like pulling you over. What could possibly go wrong? Well, why don't you ask some New Jersey Muslims? New Jersey Muslims file federal suit to stop New York Police Department from spying on them. The June 2012, one of the Obama administration's go-to civil rights groups in its efforts to build relationships with American Muslims is suing the New York City Police Department over its surveillance program, some of which were paid for with federal money. I would also point out that some of them were 500 miles away from New York City. Eight Muslims filed a federal lawsuit Wednesday in New Jersey to force the NYPD to end its surveillance and other intelligence gathering practices targeting Muslims in the years after the 2001 terrorist attack. The lawsuit alleged that the NYPD's activities were unconstitutional because they focused on the people's religion, national origin, and race. Sounds a little bit like profiling, doesn't it? And, of course, this is 500-mile radius in New York. That's a lot of money. And who's next? Gotta be some other groups we gotta keep our eye on. Aryan Nation for sure. Skinheads. I'm sort of worried about those libertarians. They're a little bothersome to me. I think maybe we should probably be checking them out. People that ride scooters. I found that people that ride motor scooters, just, there's something wrong with them. They don't want to ride a motorcycle. They don't want to drive a car. They want something in between. They're dissatisfied with the status quo. In fact, I think we need some new guidelines and some new departments for people that seem to not like the status quo. We could surveil them. We have the cameras to do it. And it's easy to tell a person who isn't quite in the status quo. In fact, we pretty much know how they dress. We can tell. Oh, well. New York judge rejects lawsuit by Occupy Wall Street protesters against top officials. Manhattan federal judges said that hundreds of anti-Wall Street protesters arrested on the Brooklyn Bridge in New York last year cannot proceed with their claims against top city officials. U.S. District Judge Red Rakoff said in a written ruling on Thursday, the protesters who filed a lawsuit last year cannot proceed with their claims against New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg and Police Commissioner Ray Kelly. Protesters can only pursue claims against individual police officers who were involved in the arrest, according to the ruling. You know, if you saw the video, it was pretty obvious that the police were directing them in a place they weren't supposed to go. Now, perhaps the police were overzealous, and they had too many people, and they were trying to quell the crowd that was being accumulated there, and perhaps they have a reason, but certainly the justice should grind on that issue. Here's the nuclear plant issue that I talked about, I'm trying to remember from that memory. San Onofre nuclear plant out of service for the summer. Top official at Edison International said Sunday that the troubled San Onofre nuclear plant will remain out of service through the summer. The plant has been shuttered since January 1st while officials probe the extent and the cause of the unusual wear on tubes that carry radioactive water into the plant's newly replaced steam generators. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission has ordered the plant to stay offline until Edison can identify the exact cause of the wear and how to fix it. But, on the other hand, one hand gives, the other takes away. Or one hand takes away, the other hand gives. Unit 1 at Susquehanna Nuclear Power Plant returns to service following outage. Unit 1 at Susquehanna Nuclear Power Plant in Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, resumed generating electricity for customers Thursday, June 7, after a scheduled refueling and maintenance outage. Plant operator PPL Susquehanna LLC also announced that it was found no turbine blade crack units on Unit 2, which was shut down May 30th for inspection based on the discovery of cracks on some of Unit 1 turbine foreign blades, which were replaced during the just completed outage. Well, that's reassuring. Foreign countries must stop backing Syria armed rebels, Iran official says. Surprise, surprise. Iran's Deputy Foreign Minister for Arab and African Affairs, Hosni Amir Abdollahian, says the foreign countries that are supporting the terrorists in Syria must stop and defend the Syrian people instead. The Amir Abdollahian said on Thursday that the responsibility of the May 25th massacre in the town of Hula in Syria's province of Homs, which reportedly led to the death of 108 people, including women and children, lies with those parties who claim to be defending the Syrian people, but are in practice supporting the terrorists in this country. Supporting the terrorists in Syria is a failed measure at odds with the rights of the Syrian people and a threat to the regional and global peace and security, Amir Abdollahian said. Well, a lot more is going on than just a massacre here and a massacre there. Just had another massacre besides the Hola. The intensity of the weaponry that is going to the rebels is obviously being elevated by foreign powers. There was an attack on an Air Force base just in the last few days. Mortars were fired at helicopters on the ground. They were destroyed. Also, some airplanes were destroyed. Also, the level and sophistication of the weaponry is quite high at this point in time. And in fact, they have converted Toyota trucks that are now armor-plated and carrying anti-aircraft machine guns on the back. The plating is such that rather than, as you may have seen in Somalia or some of those other places, Libya, where they just mount it on the back of the pickup, they actually have a rather sophisticated cover. A cover on three sides for the people that are operating the weaponry. The other concern, and President Obama is trying to work with President Putin on this, because President Putin can sort of see the handwriting on the wall that Bashar Assad is not long for the Syrian government. It's not that they want to give up on him. They just need a different strong man. They need some different generals in there running things. Someone that can get a better consensus over the elite power brokers of the country. So Russia is actively looking for their new guy. And in the meantime, President Obama is okay with that because, more or less, the new regime will not want to be as tight with Iran as the old regime was because they can see what happened. They can also see that there is a benefit of having both Russia as your patron and the United States as a lesser adversary than they have been. They also have the ability to enter into businesses with Qatar and Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates and Jordan. So it's a win-win situation, and I would not think that Bashar Assad, as he sells off the gold of his country, as he sells off other assets, that President Obama has been speaking with President Putin about the weapons of mass destruction that Syria does have. And they don't have a nuclear weapon, but they have big stockpiles of chemical weapons and biological weapons, which have great value on the open market. You're live on the air.
Good morning, Henry. How you doing? This is Peter.
Hey, Peter.
Hey, yesterday at the end of the show, you made a... Yeah? Can you hear me?
Yeah, at the end of the show.
You were talking about Solyndra and Mitt Romney's companies. Do you remember that? What I'm talking about?
Briefly.
Okay, you said that the Republicans or the conservatives were going after Obama on Solyndra for the investments, and that no one says anything about Mitt Romney's investments. Is correct?
Well, no, I didn't say that. I said that they are now drawing attention to Mitt Romney's investments.
Yeah. Let me ask you about Mitt Romney's investments. Was Mitt Romney's investments funded by the United States taxpayers?
No, the Massachusetts taxpayers.
No. Solyndra was money sent. The Solyndra scandal isn't the fact that the company went out of business. The scandal with Solyndra is that the money was being given to them knowingly knowing it was going to go out of business. But there's no crime in going bankrupt. But the administration had emails, and they were totally aware that Solyndra was in trouble. And remember, Obama and Joe Biden both visited that facility, model facility, whatever, and the facility itself was state-of-the-art. I don't know that, but the parallel to Mitt Romney and Solyndra are irrelevant. There's apples and oranges.
No. Solyndra had a different way of using the silicone in a, for lack of a better word, a circular manufacturing. The silicone that was being on the market when that was being developed was at a very high expense. Solyndra came up with a cheaper way of doing it. At the same time, the silicone market collapsed so that the product that Solyndra was making was of lesser value and was no longer in demand.
Well, first of all, once again, we're not talking about what they did. We're talking about them getting taxpayer money over $500 billion, and they were going to get more on a product that they knew was failing. That's
No. The silicon market collapsed while they were producing their product.
There were emails asking for more money, or they got money, knowingly that they were in trouble. That's what the crime is at Solyndra. That is the root of the problem with Solyndra. It has nothing to do. You're right. You could be right about the actual silicon, scenario. I'm not denying that. That's not what the issue is with Solyndra. Solyndra is taxpayer money being used when fraudulently, I guess, as the Justice Department thinks, because they went in there and confiscated all the computers and all the records.
We're almost out of time, and I said when Solyndra first came out, and I said on other issues too, that when you want to stimulate an industry, the way to stimulate the industry is on the supply side, on the demand side, I should say, that tax credits and making it more affordable to buy their product, whether it be cash for clunkers or some of the other, the home credit, that stimulates the economy. Trying to pick winners and losers based on technology is a recipe for disaster. So that is what I said. I am consistent. You want to say that? It's 9 o'clock. Mitch wants to do his show. So I need to get out of here. Bye. Thank you very much.
Cash for Clunkers was another failure, too, by the way. Another
failure. Sure. Sure it was.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Mitch is here, and he is being patient with Peter and allowing me to get out of here so he can do his show. And Mitch, is this a permanent show now?
Yeah.
So next week we're going to be seeing it, too, or hearing it. We may not be seeing it, but we will continue to hear the Mitch Mallett It's Your Gavel Show and Louise is on.